All right, we're going to wait and talk about forgiveness at big group on Sunday. So, All right, Luke 10. Verse 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's a bad translation of hurt. The word is adikio. It means to... adikio is righteous. So adikio is unrighteous. And so the whole idea of all of the serpents and treading on everybody and nothing shall hurt you, it's in the context of that mystery of righteousness. The idea is you never have to leave righteousness or the mercy seat, because all of those things do not have the power to cause you to leave the mercy seat. So that's what the definition of hurt here is. And let's look and see where it's used.
So it's like nothing can make you unrighteous because you are...
Because he's your life.
The righteousness of Christ.
Right. But, except you. You're always the enemy. Well, who's it always talking to? It's always talking to Christ in you.
When my mother went to Italy just a few years before she died with the church group, they had an audience with the Pope. I think I told you this story. And my mother, being as devout as she was, the anticipation of actually seeing the Pope was... she was in this world, and she was weeping. So they put the people in this room, and the door opens, and he comes in, and he kind of nods to everybody. And my mother lost it. She was sobbing, uncontrollable. And he did something. He came up to her, and he held her hand and spoke to her. And she was just, she thought. And he shooed everyone else out of the room, and he took her by the hand, and he went to the next meeting, took her with him. And it was phenomenal. And he called her mother. I mean, my mother was ready to die when this was over with. But he said to her when he left her that she and her children and her children's children were guaranteed heaven. And he said to her, nothing by any means can hurt you. My mom stopped at that point. That was it. I'll never forget. And this was this bum, this guy, this just a flake. But that was so kind of him to do that. There was so much compassion in that he showed to my mother. I'll never forget that.
That's
again,
great.
Nothing by any means shall hurt you. He said,
wow. Which Pope was it?
Just the new one. This guy now. Ben.
Okay.
Right. Think he had it in him.
When did this happen?
Just
2006, 2007.
Not that long ago.
I'll take a picture. I'll show you a picture.
All right, yeah.
It's amazing. Harry put it in the door. You remember that?
Yeah.
I'll show you.
Not that one.
I'll show you.
Let's go to Acts 25. This is where Paul was before Festus, just, during the time when he was petitioning to go to Rome. But in verse 10, let's go up a little bit. let's just start in verse 1. That's the only way that we'll do it. Now, when Festus was come into the province, after 3 days, he ascended from Caesarea to Jerusalem. Then the high priest and the chief of the Jews informed him against Paul and besought him and desired a favor against him that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying wait in the way to kill Paul. But Festus answered that Paul should be kept at Caesarea and that he himself would depart shortly thither. Let them therefore, said he, which among you are able, go down with me and accuse this man if there be any wickedness in him. And when he had tarried among them more than 10 days, he went down unto Caesarea, and the next day, sitting on the judgment seat, commanded Paul to be brought. And when he was come, the Jews which came down from Jerusalem stood round about and laid many and grievous complaints against Paul, which they could not prove. While he answered for himself, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. But Festus, willing to do the Jews a pleasure or favor, answered Paul and said, Wilt thou go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me? Then said Paul, I stand at Caesar's judgment seat, where I ought to be judged. To the Jews have I done no wrong, as thou very well knowest. For if I be an offender, or have committed anything worthy of death, I refuse not to die. But if there be none of these things whereof these accuse me, no man may deliver me unto them. I appeal unto Caesar. Then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, Hast thou appealed unto Caesar? Unto Caesar thou shalt go. Now, in verse 11, where Paul is saying, For if I be an offender, offender is the same word, audicio. And it means if I have done some unrighteous act by the Jews' law, or have committed anything worthy of death, he says he'll die. But because he was a Roman citizen, he appealed to Caesar. So that's. But anyway, so here it's this audicias, instead of translated hurt you, is offender. Let's go to.
Could that mean then nothing by any means shall offend you? Which would be appropriate.
No, it means anything. No. It means here the word offender in context meant that it was offending the laws of righteousness according to the Jews. So it has nothing to do with offending you.
I just think an offense is one that takes you off the mercy seat, takes you on the rest, and that's not too far off from.
All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that are pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before on the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? No, you do wrong, and you do wrong as adikio, and defraud, and that your brother. So again, it's just it's a translated here as to do wrong. And let's look. We could go on all day, but let's look at one more. No, two more. Let's go to Galatians chapter 4. Remember, we're studying hurt. Let's translate it as hurt in Luke. And here, now I say that, chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons or children, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, a legitimate son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you or for you, lest I have bestowed upon your labor in vain. Bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. And injured there is the same word, adikio. In other words, you haven't caused it. Their heresy hadn't affected him. That's what he's saying. Okay? One more now, Revelation 22. And we'll see. Verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. He saith unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Now, the word unjust in verse 11, he that is unjust, adikio, unrighteous, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. So the whole idea is this thing we've talked about a thousand times. Don't try to change yourself. All you have to know is the stupidity of the human condition. And taking that all the way to the end, and that'll cause the automatic repentance. And then you don't go running around, let him that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Let him that is unjust, let him be unjust still. Everybody understand? A little better what hurt means? Okay. What?
It's used in a lot of different contexts. Like,
but don't always means the same. Its fundamental meaning is being righteous before God. And so all those words injured, unjust, do wrong, be an offender, doeth wrong, hath wrong. It's all adikio. All right, let's go back to Luke, verse 20, chapter 10. Isn't that what I said? Anyway, whatever it is. It's chapter 10, verse 20.
Yeah, you said 22.
Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. In what? That everything is subject to you. That's not the meaning of rejoicing. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Rejoice means it's the word it's pronounced it's C-H-A-I-R-O, Cairo, or Cairo, I guess. But it's interesting, it's used when this whole idea when Christ was being mocked. Let's look at Matthew 26. They're in the garden. Verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave him a sign, saying, whosoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and saith, Hail, Master, and kissed him. Now the word for Hail, Master, this word, Cairo. He was acting in the betrayal as though he was rejoicing greatly and acknowledging his messiahship. So that's where it's used. But it was used when in the greeting by an angel. When she, let's go there. Luke, let's go back to Luke 1 real quick. This is why, now this is interesting. This is the angel talking. He's talking to Mary. In verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail. Now this hail is this Cairo. Rejoice greatly. Thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So anyway, but it's used by Christ regarding his disciples after his resurrection. Let's go to Matthew 28. Verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear ye not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, Come see the place where the Lord shall lay. Then, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. That's what all Cairo, all rejoice greatly. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. So anyway, that's that rejoice, or rejoicing is an interesting word in a different way it's used. But there's one more place it's used that's critical and extremely important, and we'll quit after this one. It's 2 John.
Was that second Mary Martha?
I think it was Jesus' mother. Second John, well, let's just read it. The elder unto the elect lady and her children. Now this is like it would be to the elect lady, meaning the body. And her children are the people. Okay? It's not to a woman. Whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in love, and truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which you have heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. And this is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ and hath not God, he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If these come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now the word Godspeed is Kairos. It's translated rejoice elsewhere. Now in other words, if somebody comes to you and does not recognize and seek and speak and teach that Jesus Christ is in you, bid him not Godspeed. That's pretty important.
Yeah.
I forgot when I was studying this that was so specific in 2 John. Remember in 1 John 4 it says it again. He that is doesn't know that Jesus Christ is in them is an antichrist. What are you doing, Gary? All right, that's enough. We gotta leave for the airport here in a little shortly. I'm running away.